Welcome to episode one of the Shift with Beth podcast. I'm your host, Beth Schild. The one thing most people don't realize they're doing and what it's costing you. I'm still kind of dying that I'm really here doing this. And I'm so glad you're here with me as I figure out podcasting in real time. Today, we're talking about a topic I'm so passionate about that I knew it needed to be episode one. Because once you learn about this and you see this pattern, it really changes how you understand yourself, your relationships, and so many of the choices that you've made. Today, we're talking about self-abandonment. So what is self-abandonment? It's when you disconnect from your own needs, feelings, truth, or intuition in order to stay safe, loved, accepted, or to avoid conflict. And I want to be really clear about this right away. Self-abandonment is not a flaw. It's not a weakness. It's a survival pattern. It's what happens when your nervous system learns that being fully yourself doesn't feel safe. And most people don't think, I'm abandoning myself. It just shows up in different ways. They feel tired, anxious, disconnected from themselves. And that feeling of something's off, but you can't quite name it. Most people feel like they're living slightly off to the side of their own life. And if you're listening right now, I just want to invite you to pause for a moment and just notice, where do you feel that disconnect in your own life? Without trying to fix it or change it or analyze it, just notice if you're feeling anything in the body right now that you can be aware of. Self-abandonment shows up in really ordinary moments. It looks like saying yes when your body is saying no. Talking yourself out of your own feelings, knowing something doesn't feel right, but still doing it anyway, staying quiet because it feels easier than explaining yourself, minimizing what you want so other people don't feel uncomfortable, and telling yourself things like it's not that big of a deal when actually it is. And these moments add up. So as you hear these, notice if any of those hit for you. We do these things automatically, and that's where self-abandonment lives. It's so subtle. It's so sneaky. Self-abandonment usually starts early. For me, it started when I was a little girl. I remember feeling like I had done something wrong, something I couldn't talk about, something I carried quietly for years because I believed that if anyone knew, I wouldn't be loved or accepted. And that experience taught me something very early on. I learned to hide parts of myself. I learned how to become a version of myself that felt safer to love. And that pattern followed me for decades. Can you remember a time when you hid something about yourself because you didn't think you'd be loved or accepted if anyone knew? Maybe it was something you did or something that was done to you. Maybe it's something that you felt, something someone said. Maybe there was something that you needed. And maybe no one ever found out. And it's possible, just like it was for me for years, that you're still carrying it quietly. Even now, just notice what comes up for you. This is where self-abandonment begins. Not because we're weak, but because hiding felt safer than being fully seen. And what I didn't understand for a long time is this. Healing isn't about exposing everything or telling your story to everyone. It's about getting to the root of the shame. And meeting that part of yourself with compassion instead of judgment. Shame only has power when it's kept in the dark, when it's kept hidden. And when you can really look at it, that's when you heal and that's when you actually are able to set yourself free. And when we don't heal it, we hide it and we hold on to that shame. At first, self-abandonment doesn't feel dramatic. It feels like a small disconnect. It's subtle. A quiet tension in your body that you might not even notice. It feels like waking up tired even when you've slept, like being successful but not fulfilled, like doing everything right and still feeling empty. It can also feel like you're always slightly bracing. Do you feel your shoulders up a lot? Do you feel your jaw tight? Like you're performing your own life instead of embodying it. So you keep going, you push through, you tell yourself you're fine. And slowly, you move further and further away from yourself. And if you're being really honest with yourself right now, where do you feel like you've gone quiet? Where did you stop checking in with what you want and what you need? Without any shame, this is just our time to get curious. because curiosity brings awareness. For a long time, I didn't see this pattern. I didn't know what self-abandonment was at all until I was 40. And for context, I'm 45 now. I saw how the way that I was operating as being committed, being strong, doing the right thing. And it wasn't until things started getting really, really hard for me in my marriage that I started to learn what it was. It became clear that we didn't want the same things anymore after more than 20 years together. And at this time, I was in school to become a life coach. And I was trying to use the mindset tools and the personal growth work to try to save my relationship. But instead of helping me come home to myself, it became another way to override my internal compass. So this is where mindset work can be really destructive. If you're trying to override your internal compass and what feels good to you, mindset tools can actually be really damaging, which is why I became trauma-informed and why I'm a somatic experiencing practitioner, and because everything lives in the body. And when you don't work with the body, mindset isn't going to do anything. So there is a place for mindset work and it's powerful, but it can't override your internal compass. So I kept abandoning myself to make it work. And over time, that self-abandonment caused so much pain and trauma in my body and in my nervous system. And I could be really hard on myself for not figuring this out sooner or for not choosing myself sooner. But the truth is, I needed every one of those experiences to get to the place where I could finally see what I was doing, that I had been abandoning myself my whole life. And it was familiar. It was automatic. And it was what I knew. So of course, when I stopped this and chose myself, it was terrifying to my nervous system. It felt like a death. I felt like I was dying to the old way of being. It was uncomfortable and one of the hardest things that I have ever had to do. But that was the beginning of me coming back home to myself. And I want to share something important here. I'm not sharing this to make anyone a villain in the story. There were unhealthy dynamics and lots of pain. And at the same time, I was living in my own patterns, my own wounds, my own deep conditioning to put myself last. And because of that, I kept choosing to stay disconnected from myself. No one made me abandon myself. I chose to because that's what my nervous system was used to. And it doesn't mean I was weak. I was just operating from the pattern that I learned early on. And being able to own that has been incredibly empowering for me because it also means that I have the power to choose differently now, and I have. Okay, before we go further, I want to invite again, this is something I'm always saying to my clients so they can connect with what's happening in the body and just be with what's happening in your body as you hear this. Just notice where this shows up in your own life. By hearing other people's stories, sometimes we can hear our own. And this self-abandonment, it doesn't only happen in marriages. It happens everywhere. It happens at work, in friendships, in families, in all the places we keep choosing other people's needs over our own. The pattern's the same. So we trade pieces of ourselves for safety, stability, approval, and we tell ourselves it's just how life works until one day it doesn't work anymore. If you're wondering where this tends to show up the very most, it's in our relationships, because relationships activate our deepest attachment wounds. They bring up our fear of being left, not being enough, being too much, or being alone. So self-abandonment in relationships can look like staying quiet when something doesn't feel okay. It can look like saying yes when you want to say no. It can look like overgiving, overexplaining, overfunctioning. It can look like seeing red flags, but talking yourself out of them because you really want it to work. And here's the part I really want to name, because I think this is where a lot of people are. A lot of us don't actually want to admit we're doing this, because if we admit it, then we have to look at how much we've been minimizing ourselves, how much we've been settling, how often we've been choosing this relationship over our own well-being. And that can feel really scary to face. So instead, we tell ourselves things like, it's not that bad. Other people have it worse. This is just how relationships are. I should just be grateful. I know it can get better. And what makes this even harder is that this pattern becomes automatic. It's autopilot. You don't wake up and decide, today I'm going to abandon myself and my relationship. Your body just goes there. You quiet yourself. You adapt. You make it okay. Because that's what your nervous system learned to do to keep connection and stay safe. So of course, changing this feels scary. Because part of you learned that speaking up, setting boundaries, or choosing yourself could mean losing love, losing the relationship, losing approval, and maybe ending up alone. So if you're listening to this and thinking, yeah, I do this, but I don't even know how to stop, or I'm not sure I'm ready to really look at this or that I want to stop. And I want you to know that that makes so much sense. This isn't about forcing yourself to suddenly be brave and confrontational or radically different. It's about slowly, gently teaching your nervous system that you can be in relationships and still stay connected to yourself, that you deserve that, that you don't have to disappear to be loved. And I also want to talk about why this even matters. Because I think sometimes people hear this and think, okay, yeah, maybe I put myself last sometimes, but I'm fine. I'm used to it. It's easy. My life is fine. My relationship is fine. And maybe on the outside, it is. But the cost of self-abandonment isn't always big. It's subtle, it's quiet, and it adds up over time. It can look like feeling disconnected from yourself, like you're not fully alive or fully expressed. It can look like anxiety that never really goes away. Resentment you don't feel like you're allowed to have. Or a constant low-level exhaustion from always being the one who adjusts. And a lot of people stay in relationships not because they feel deeply fulfilled, but because it's comfortable or financially stable or familiar or way easier than starting over. And I want to say this with so much compassion because those are real and valid concerns and feelings. But when you stay in a dynamic where you have to stay small, stay quiet to keep the peace, hide parts of yourself, hold back emotions, or just settle for less than what your heart actually wants, you are slowly disconnecting from your own life. You are robbing yourself of the kind of love that includes you, the kind of relationship where you don't have to earn love, the kind where you don't have to prove anything, the kind of expansion that comes when you feel safe to be fully yourself. And the hardest part is that when we abandon ourselves long enough, we start to believe that this is just how it is. This is as good as it gets. But that is not true. There is so much more available to you when you start choosing yourself. Not instead of relationships, but inside of them. And that's why this matters. Not because you're doing something wrong, but because you deserve more than just surviving your relationships. You deserve to feel alive in them and be free to be your fully authentic self. And for a lot of people, this doesn't just stay emotional. It shows up in the body too. When you stay in chronic stress, when you're constantly overriding your own needs, when you're always bracing, holding it together, pushing through, your nervous system never really gets to rest. And over time, that can start to show up as physical symptoms. Things like migraines, chronic pain, stomach and digestive issues, autoimmune conditions, fatigue that doesn't go away no matter how much you sleep, not being able to sleep. And this matters. I'm not saying that every illness is caused by emotional patterns or that you can just think your way out of health issues all the time. That's not how bodies work. It's not always accurate or fair. But what we do know is that long-term nervous system dysregulation and chronic stress absolutely impact the body. And for me, this became very real. My body started carrying the cost of how long I had been overriding myself, how long I had been staying in situations that didn't feel safe or aligned, how long I had been telling myself to just keep going and things would get better. My body started speaking when I wasn't listening. And for so many people, that's what happens. First, you feel disconnected, then you feel anxious or exhausted. And eventually your body starts waving bigger red flags because it's trying to get your attention, not to punish you, but to protect you, to say something needs to change here. And that can be really terrifying, especially for people who are used to being strong and capable and pushing through and figuring things out for themselves. I'll never forget a moment during the back and forth in my marriage. I ran into a good friend of mine who actually knew a lot of what I was going through, and it had gotten to the point where it was really hard for her to witness it. She looked at me and she said, "Beth, you are a shell of yourself. I wish there was something I could do." And I remember looking at her and knowing that she was right. I could see the concern in her face, but I was in such a state of survival. I couldn't make a decision yet. I could not see a way out of the state that I was in. My body didn't feel safe enough to change things, even though I knew that's what I needed to do. And something else that was happening at that time, and the cost of self-abandonment, is that I had started to distance myself from the people that I was closest to that loved me. Not because they didn't care, but because the shame of being in that cycle felt like too much. I didn't want to burden anyone. I didn't want to keep having the same conversations. I didn't want people to worry about me when I didn't even know how to help myself yet. And if I'm being really honest, every time I was back in the cycle, every time I felt unable to change the situation, I also felt more frustrated with myself and not in a kind way. I was very self-critical. Like, I can't believe I'm in this space again. Like, what does that say about me? It was like this self-loathing that I felt. So instead of reaching for support, I pulled away. And that just made me feel even more alone inside. And this is something that feels really hard for me to witness in people that I love now. Because when I see someone stuck in a pattern that's hurting them, I don't see weakness. I see myself. I see how scary it is. I see how much shame is wrapped around it. I see why they avoid talking about it, or why they minimize it, or why they avoid me. And it's heartbreaking to watch, because I know how hard it is to leave something your body still thinks it needs in order to survive. And at the same time, I'm also really grateful that I went through this, not that I would choose this or wish this on anyone, but because I can see these patterns so clearly now. I have so much more grace and compassion for people who are stuck in them. I understand the fear. I understand the shame. I understand why it feels impossible to just make a different choice. Just choose you. And it's a different level of support when you've lived it. Whether I'm coaching someone through this or sitting with a friend who's in it, I'm not thinking, "Why don't you just leave?" I'm thinking, "I know how hard this is. I know what it feels like when your mind wants one thing and your body feels like it can't do it." And I really believe that experience changed the way that I love people and see them, changed the way I listen, and it deepened my belief that real healing doesn't come from pressure or judgment, but from safety and compassion. And I also learned something really important through all of this. As much as people can love you and worry about you and want more for you, they can't choose yourself for you. My friends couldn't save me. My family couldn't make the decision for me. Even the people who could see it, see what I couldn't yet, they can't change the pattern for me. And I don't say that in a harsh way at all. I say it in an empowering way, because it means that the moment you are ready to choose yourself, that power is already yours. You don't have to wait for someone else to change. You don't have to wait for the perfect timing or the perfect circumstances. The shift starts when you start listening to yourself and taking yourself seriously, when you finally had enough. And that doesn't mean you suddenly make massive life changes overnight. Sometimes choosing yourself starts with the smallest decisions, with telling the truth about how you actually feel, with not talking yourself out of your own knowing, with staying connected to yourself instead of disconnecting again. And sometimes we have to keep putting ourselves back in this. It has to get so bad before we can really wake up. And those small moments of choosing yourself are what eventually break the cycle. So what happens when you keep abandoning yourself? This is a part that people don't talk about a lot. When you continue to abandon yourself long enough, you don't lose yourself all at once. You lose yourself in pieces. You stop trusting your instincts. You second guess your feelings. You stop asking yourself what you want because it feels safer not to know, not to look at it. And so your soul doesn't disappear, but it just goes quiet. And then one day you wake up and realize you don't recognize yourself anymore. That's often when people say, I don't even know who I am. I feel lost, or I should be happy, but I'm not. And it's actually a good sign to be having these thoughts, right? Because it will propel you into change if you're ready. The relationship that we forget to tend to, here's what most of us were never taught, is that the most important relationship you will ever have is the one with yourself. But that's not our default way of thinking. That's not really what we're taught. We're taught to focus on our relationships with other people, to make sure everyone else is okay, to keep the peace, to be understanding, to not disappoint. So we spend so much energy managing how others feel and whether our relationships with them are okay, that we rarely stop to look at the relationship we have with ourselves. And yet that relationship shapes everything. You think about it, you're always with yourself, always. And we don't lose ourselves because we don't care. We lose ourselves because we care so deeply about everyone else, because that's what we were taught to do. And just think for a moment, if you started to care that deeply about you. So how can you stop abandoning yourself? So if you've been listening to this and you're like, okay, this is totally me, how can you stop doing that? So I think the most important thing is to become aware of the voice in your head. Listen to how you talk to yourself, especially when you make a mistake or you feel emotional or you think about a past version of yourself that maybe you have regrets for or you're carrying shame about. Most of us are incredibly harsh. We say things like, I can't believe I did that, or I'm making this a bigger deal than it should be, or I shouldn't feel this way, or I shouldn't say this. This sounds terrible. I'm a terrible person, but, or things like, why did I stay so long? Why did I allow that person to treat me that way for so long? And we say these things so automatically that we don't even realize how harsh they are. If you spoke to a friend the way you speak to yourself, how would that land? And what would it feel like to offer yourself even a fraction of the grace that you give to other people? What we need instead, what most of us needed in those moments, was grace. Someone to say, of course you feel this way. It makes sense why you did what you did. You were doing the best you could with what you knew at the time. That's what a healthy relationship with yourself sounds like. It's loving, it's compassionate, it's regulating, and it's how you rebuild trust with yourself. This is where I start with my clients. This is one of the very first things I do with them. We don't start by fixing anything. We just start by looking at the relationship that they have with themselves. We begin to notice the internal voice and gently rewire it. And honestly, this is really uncomfortable for my clients at first. It was uncomfortable for me when I started doing this work because I was so used to being hard on myself and judging myself that to actually be loving and compassionate to myself, like it's almost like I didn't feel like I deserved that because I hadn't done it before. It's awkward. It's unfamiliar. It feels unsafe to the system when it's so different. But what's actually happening is so powerful because you're teaching your nervous system that you're safe with yourself, that you're going to start showing up differently for yourself. And the way that that feels in the body when you start to practice it is so loving and so kind, and you deserve that. I notice this with everyone in my life, in my friendships, in my partner, with my kids. Like I'll hear one of my kids saying something harshly to themselves and I'll be like, why are you talking to my daughter like that? And they'll laugh, right? And it's so important that we draw attention to this with our loved ones because we also need it for ourselves. Everyone's mirrors for us and for our behavior. And so as you bring awareness to this and you start to notice it, it's like the only time that my partner gets mad at me, and I use quotes, is when I am being hard on myself. He will help me see that that is not okay, that I shouldn't talk to myself like that, that I should treat myself with love and kindness. So you really want to create understanding for yourself instead of judgment, because when we judge ourselves, we disconnect from ourselves. When we have compassion for ourselves, for our feelings, for the things that we've been through, that's what creates safety within ourselves. So I've noticed with my clients that high functioning, high achieving people struggle with this a lot. It's common for leaders and parents, business owners, professionals, really everyone. From the outside, their lives look fine and capable and successful. But on the inside, they're anxious and exhausted and second-guessing themselves and feeling so disconnected. And they don't want to admit it or talk about it because they feel shame because they feel that way. And so self-abandonment often looks like success on the outside and anxiety on the inside. And what pays the price for that is your nervous system. So where healing begins. So if you're wondering where healing actually begins, it really starts right here with awareness of what self-abandonment even is and the willingness to notice where it shows up in your life and own it. Look at it instead of avoiding it. And then with curiosity about where you learned that it wasn't safe to be full of yourself. So going back, go back to your childhood. When did you notice that you couldn't be full of yourself or you hid parts of yourselves in order to be validated, liked, accepted, right? And that's where you can start to do the work to connect with that version of you. And then very gently, beginning to show up differently for yourself in the smallest ways. Little shifts is all it takes to shift the energy in how you talk to yourself, how you speak to yourself when you're struggling, offering yourself compassion instead of criticism, giving yourself understanding instead of shame. That's how you, again, start rebuilding trust with yourself. Not by fixing everything at once, but just by choosing moment by moment to stay with yourself instead of abandoning yourself again. If this resonates, I want you to hear this clearly. You're not broken. You adapted. And you can learn a different way. Start by this week noticing how you talk to yourself when no one's around. And if you catch judgment, see if you can just soften even just a little bit. That's how the relationship with yourself begins to heal. In the next episode, we're going to talk about the voice that fuels self-abandonment, which is commonly called the inner critic. It's a topic I'm really passionate about and one I work with often when I'm speaking to high-achieving professionals. And we're going to get into that. And the reason I'm so passionate about learning how to work with your inner critic is because mine was so harsh. And I still have to work with this part of me because I've learned over time to be so hard on myself. And it's so empowering to learn this work. And I'm excited to share it with you in the next episode. Thank you so much for being here with me. I truly mean that. This has been a journey even just to get to this point. And I'm just so grateful that I'm here, that you're here. And before you go, if this episode resonated with you, I'd love for you to do a couple of things. If you haven't already, subscribe to the Shift with Beth podcast so you don't miss the next episode. And if you know someone who might need to hear this, I'd love for you to share this episode with them. Sometimes we don't realize how much someone needs permission to feel what they're feeling. And if you want to connect with me or learn more about my work or how to work with me, you can find me at shiftwithbeth.com or on Instagram is shiftwithbeth. Thank you so much again for being here with me. I'm so grateful you're here.